This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Spine and Orthopedic Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Bert Mandelbaum, co-chair of the medical affairs at Cedars-Sinai Curlin Job Institute in Los Angeles. Dr. Mandelbaum, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Great to be here, Laura.
I'm really looking forward to our discussion because I know, you know, you've had a huge role in orthopedics and just a lot going on in the field today. So before we jump into the questions, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Well, Laura, I'm a orthopedic surgeon who specializes in knee surgery and sports medicine. I did my medical school at Washington University in St. Louis, and then my pre-med I was in Baltimore before that, and my residency at Johns Hopkins, and I did my sports medicine fellowship at UCLA. Spent a few years on the faculty there, and then in practice here first with Santa Monica Orthopedic Group, and we amalgamated with Curlin Job in 2014. We became Curlin Job Institute, and that's where I am today.
Well, fantastic. I'm wondering, first off, what are the top three trends that you're following in healthcare right now?
Well, there's a lot going on in healthcare. Obviously, we're at the end or coming to an end of the pandemic. There's a lot of things going on with the economy. The way I look at the three trends, the three major trends for me are three. One is consumerism, that I see a trend through the internet, through a lot of technology, that consumerism is upon us. We're now seeing various health systems focus on population health. We're seeing the major companies like CVS that are focusing on the consumer, connecting to payers, connecting to health systems and physician systems. And in the middle of all this is our patient and consumer-centric phenomena that relate to communicating to them about health, prevention, and care, and everything around that. So I think the consumerism of healthcare is first and foremost that I'm seeing. Secondly, I really see a tremendous trend towards innovations. When we look at healthcare, there's no question that big data is driving all that we do. Looking at informatics, machine learning, artificial intelligence, taking the big data and converting it to important thematic approaches and changes in paradigms. So I think the big data part is going to be very important for us to produce further trends and understand how we are able to direct ourselves in those directions. Also, I think the use of devices, the wearable device industry, is really going to change healthcare going forward. When we think about devices on our fingers, devices on our wrists, and give us information that the big data groups through machine learning and artificial intelligence will help us in this regard, translating some of those information pieces. Robotics is and will be and continue to be an important part of what we do as surgeons. We see robotics for everything from abdominal and prostate surgery, OBGYN surgery, the use of robotics and GPS technologies and orthopedics, making our hip and knee replacements better for now and for the future. I also think that we're seeing tremendous changes in virtual reality and training our physicians and helping us, especially as surgeons, in being able to understand how to do procedures. And lastly, when it comes to big innovations, I think the field of biologics and orthobiologics is really upon us. We've called it regenerative medicine in the past. And I think that the use of biologics in what we do for individuals non-operatively, perioperatively, and post-operatively is really enhancing what we do in our approaches to disease, disease modification, and prevention going forward. And I also believe that the approach to the genome and how we understand the genome, we could now do tests, whether it be companies, consumeristic companies such as 23andMe producing genomics that help us understand what kind of risk we have in health and disease, and also how to help therapeutically modify disease. Prevent and modify is upon us now and will continue to be upon us in the future. And very lastly, the last trend that I think is happened already and accelerated through the pandemic is the approach to virtual medicine. For someone like myself, who takes care of many athletes and soccer players worldwide, it has given me a platform to connect to athletes, to teams, to agents, to therapists, to the teams managing the athlete. It's been a very powerful thing. It's also powerful for many physicians in terms of rural communities, being able to practice and help people during the times of COVID when they could not come out was a great opportunity to connect them to them and refine our platforms and make it even better. So for me, it's really the three trends are consumerism, the approach to a variety of innovations, and lastly, the acceleration of the trend towards virtual medicine and actually refining that, translating it, and make it even better today, 2021.
That's fantastic to hear, Dr. Mandelbaum. And I wanted to ask a follow-up question on the consumerism side of things. Especially consumerism and then thinking about the virtual care and telehealth. From the orthopedic standpoint with patients, obviously there are a lot of advantages that you just outlined in terms of being able to use the technology and having additional insights in catering to patients. I'm wondering, from your perspective, are there any risks or potential downsides to incorporating this type of technology that doctors should think about or have on the radar as they're moving forward in understanding where they want to go with these new trends in healthcare?
Well, I think there are things that can make us nervous overall. We don't want to lose contact with our patients. In the end of the day, it's all about our patients and what's important to them. We don't want to lose our contact points. But if we could refine and make those contact points better, and we could find the opportunity for virtual platforms. If you're just exchanging information, what a great platform to do that. But if you've got to be in a situation, physical examination and any types of therapeutic interventions, then you have to go to an in-person environment. But there's no question that virtual medicine is upon us, telemedicine. It will be upon us. We'll further refine our abilities to do better with our patient care.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. Thanks so much for going through that with us. Now, I'm wondering, what are the most promising device and technology developments right now? I know you talked a little bit about already robotics and some of the changes there, as well as the virtual reality and training surgeons. You know, are there any other promising technologies that are upcoming right now and anything as well from your perspective that might be, you know, more hype or not quite ready for prime time just yet?
Well, I'm a believer in the wearables. I think the wearables are going to have a tremendous impact on our population. When you combine the wearable and to be able to take a data set that with 2 million data points that we had never in the past been able to consider, we may not look at a static blood pressure as a great parameter that we need to measure. It could be heart rate or some type of cardiovascular resilience parameter that we develop out of the big data. So I think wearables are really exciting for diabetics. They've revolutionized the approaches for athletes, GPS technology, sleep patterns. And again, as we get better at looking at some of these parameters of cardiovascular fitness, I think we're going to get even better. So I think wearables are a huge phenomena that can be used for the healthy person just trying to get healthier, but also for the patient. There's no question that now using things like pulse oximetry at home has helped the COVID-affected patient. So things like that are going to be very helpful in our communities and devices that we use for people at home. But I also really focus on, I talked about robotics, and robotics has revolutionized and will continue to revolutionize joint replacement in a sense of we were close before, but but we can be exact on every case by taking 3D CT technology and convert it to robotic GPS-driven technology. Surgeons will know exactly where to put their implants. They know exactly, using robotics, how to dissect out the prostate or another organ, and then meticulously, in a very exact way, refine their operative procedures, and then enhancing outcomes for the future. So I think those are the big, exciting new technologies that we find applicable here in 2021 and going forward for the future.
That's really great to hear, and obviously lots of potential for delivering better patient care and really helping the surgeons care for their patients. So thanks for going through that. Now, I'm wondering, from your perspective, obviously having the robotic technology and some of the other things that you want to bring into the operating room or bring into patient care are really very helpful. From the cost side of things, how do you make sure that it makes sense and is feasible for practices, especially those that, you know, may not be affiliated with larger organizations? Is that possible, or is it, you know, is still something that that smaller groups are trying to work through?
Well, I think one of the things and the concepts that I think is a concept that is called coopetition. And coopetition is going to be something where payers and consumeristic companies like a CVS, like an Optum, will come together with practitioner groups and ideally figure the most cost-effective way to manage patients. And I do believe that some of the technologies we've spoken to will address not only the efficacy side, but the cost-efficacy side. As we get better and things get more applicable through our provider population, costs come down. It's not every technology that every person could access. But as we get better at those technologies, just like the cell phone is in the hands of almost every American or almost every person around the world, except for those who are most impoverished. So I think that's the way healthcare should be. We should continue to innovate. And as we innovate, we'll get better with technologies. Just our ability to manage diabetics today through some of these wearables has changed the whole approach to diabetes. There's so many illnesses where they have truly been game changers, whether it be immunotherapy or it be the approaches to rheumatoid arthritics and doing disease modifiers. It's a technology. And yes, in the beginning, things are hard to pay for, but in the long run, we improve lives and we can save lives going forward.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And Dr. Mandelbaum, what are you most excited about today and what makes you nervous?
Well, I am most excited about these innovations that we spoke to a few seconds ago. There's so many exciting technologies in evolution. Just like we taught, these are technologies that have evolved like Moore's Law as we've gotten better at developing our abilities as computer technology, more resistors. We can now, in a very exponential way and more expediently, develop new technologies. So I'm very excited about those technologies. As we talked about 3D printing, virtual reality with augmented reality, the use of biologics on every level, and how we approach big data, I think is so exciting in developing machine learning and artificial intelligence with multiple simulations and learning a lot more than we've ever known before. I think that the abundance of that kind of data should make us all excited, because we're going to learn more in a very exponential way that we haven't done in the past. What makes me nervous? What makes me nervous is the flip of this, that we will continue to institutionalize and deprofessionalize physicians and the contact that they have in patient care. What makes medicine great is the contact point between doctors and patients. You know, we've taken the Hippocratic Oath, the patient comes first, and we have to have focus and discipline to keep that in mind at all times. sometimes what happens is we institutionalize medicine and we think about numbers of patient lives, of the complexities of patient populations, that we really forget about the patient, who is at really the center of this. So everything we need to do should be and needs to continue to be patient-centric and consumer-centric, focusing on their health. But what makes me really nervous is that we lose that focus and discipline. And that's what we have to continue to discover, integrate, and learn in our young physicians going forward.
Dr. Mandelbaum, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fantastic discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
My pleasure, Laura. Thank you.